Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer, and this is Profiles in Prosperity. Every time I run into Steve Miles at Service World Expo or some other industry event, I can count on an interesting conversation, often related to something new he's implemented at the Jerry Kelly Company in St. Charles, Missouri. There's a lot to admire about Steve Miles and Jerry Kelly, and I'm not the only person who thinks that. Jerry Kelly was named Contracting Business Contractor of the Year. He was a Service Nation Alliance Contractor of the Year. They won the Sales Leader Award and the Industry Trailblazer Award, and those are just the awards I'm aware of. As I said, there's a lot to admire about Steve Miles and the Jerry Kelly Company, but what I'm fascinated by is their relentless innovation, and that's what I want to talk with Steve Miles about. So, Steve Miles, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Let me ask you, I think your title was general manager. Are you president and general manager, president, general manager, owner? What is the best description?
Currently, I am vice president and CEO. I got a promotion.
Wow, way to go. Well, your entrance into our industry is a little bit different. Tell us how you got into the industry.
Well, I started off in the trades as an electrician. I did that for 15 years, wiring houses, doing some commercial and industrial electrician work. And then I married my wife, Jill Kelly. So I got my job the old fashioned way. I married the boss's daughter. I came into the company. I started out as a dispatcher, worked my way up to service manager, then got into sales, sales management, then general manager. And then when her parents retired, Jill and I bought the company.
So about when did you take over the company? When did you purchase it?
We purchased it in 2014, so almost 5 years ago. But technically, I guess I started running the company in 1998 when I became general manager.
You guys were Residential Service Contractor of the Year. I think it was in the early 2000s, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were Contracting Businesses Residential Contractor of the Year in 2006.
Yeah, very impressive. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff we could talk about, and I'm not trying to flatter you. I've always found you to be a very impressive person. The company that you run is an impressive company. But the thing that I really wanted to talk about was innovation, because when I think about you, I always think about the new things that you're trying. If I see you at Service World Expo, it's like, what is the new thing that Jerry Kelly is working on these days? And it's always something that's different. It's always something that's interesting. And most of the time it works. I think a couple times you've told me about the ones that didn't work, but you know, you just pivot and go in some other direction. And so when you think about what differentiates a company, a lot of times it's those innovations. And it seems like you guys aren't just innovators. You guys are kind of relentless innovators. You just keep at it. I mean, I'd hate to be in a competitive position with you guys, because trying to keep up would be hell. So if you think about over time, what would be an innovation that you think of that was kind of a standout, something that was different that people hadn't done before and maybe you're proud of, something like that?
I don't know if it's really an innovation, but when we went to 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., it was kind of innovative for our market area. Actually, I don't know that anybody's still embraced it like we have, because we do run full shifts. We've got everybody here except perhaps administrative staff 7 days a week, Sunday through Sunday. We've got a full office staff to answer the phones, full install staff. We're pulling permits. We're ordering equipment. So we truly run a full 7 day a week operation. And that's, you know, like I say, I don't know industry wide if it's that innovative, but for our area, it definitely was. And just making that work was quite a challenge, because there aren't a lot of companies out there to model after to implement it. And probably one of the most innovative things we did was with our service technicians. We run them on a 4 day on, 4 day off rotation. So it's an 8 day week. And honestly, in my mind, that's the secret to making it work. Instead of having a set group of guys work Monday through Thursday, and then the other guys work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, where they will never ever get a weekend off, our guys start on a different day each week. So if you start Monday this week, you start Tuesday next week, Wednesday the week after, Thursday. And even though it's always changing, it gives them predictability and they know when they're going to be off. So if you map it all out, they get half of every day off. So they're half Mondays off, half Tuesdays, half Fridays, half Saturdays, half Sundays, and they can plan it out in advance. And initially it was different and, you know, everybody is afraid of change. But I think now that if we tried to change back to the old way, they'd revolt because they're used to having 4-day weekends every week, even if it doesn't happen to occur over the historic weekend.
Yeah, 4 days off is nice. It is different, but you can immediately think of advantages to it as a worker. But, you know, along with that, you said that you had to change the schedule to support the 7-day, 8-to-8 plan. But didn't you also, I mean, if I remember correctly, you had to get the suppliers to support it as well.
Yes, and actually that was one of the critical success factors or one of the critical factors to making it a success. We found our supplier, we talked to them, sat down, and they were willing to work with us so that we could get equipment 7 days a week. So if we sell something Saturday night, we need it Sunday morning, and we worked out a plan together to make that happen, and it's worked out very well over the years.
What a competitive advantage, too. 95 degrees out in the middle of the summer in that nice, humid St. Louis weather. You can get my new air conditioner in on Sunday or Saturday. I don't have to wait a weekend until Monday to get it in. Who am I going with? I'm going with Jerry Kelly. And to compete with that is hard, right?
Oh, I would. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have to compete against myself. But yeah, I would think so. But what's really nice, I mean, initially, you talk to people at like Service World or at the international roundtables, and you different people, oh, well, my customers, they like their weekends. They don't want me bothering them on the weekend. And we found actually the opposite is true. They value going to work and getting paid and not taking a day off. And we found, you know, during the busy season, our weekends fill up first before the weekdays do.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. So what drives you on getting the ideas and how do you come up with them? That was one that you've got, which I think is a great one. But I remember you were talking about a no breakdown guarantee, the private labeling, performance pay, you know, the vehicle wraps that you went through several iterations with, and you kind of led the industry in thinking about having something that was really bright, easy to see. So where do you get your ideas?
Mostly it's, you know, I hate to say it, it's so cliche, but it's R&D, rob and duplicate. I go to these industry conventions, I go even outside of the industry, I'm always listening and I'm looking and seeing what's going on. And if an idea catches my attention, I'll try and think it through and make it work. Like Michelle was one of the drivers for the trucks. You know, he put on presentations on mobile marketing, how to turn your truck into mobile marketing, make sure you kind of cant your logo about 15 degrees so it breaks the horizon and all the psychology behind it. So a lot of these ideas aren't original. I just pick them up and then I implement them. And I would say that's probably more than innovating. We're good at implementing. I've got a great crew. And when I come up with an idea, we'll try anything for 6 to 8 weeks. If it works, we'll incorporate it. If it doesn't work, like you say, we sidestep and move on and try something else.
Yeah, that was the very next comment that I was going to make, was that coming up with ideas is one part of it, but implementing them is maybe the harder component. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of ideas. How many of them get implemented, right? But I remember back when you guys started doing private labeling, I was amazed at how quickly you guys turned it around. You joined the RCC. You said you were going to do private labeling, and I think you had it up and running in 3 or 4 weeks maybe, which was amazing. So what's the trick to doing that?
Oh, making the decision and making it happen. And part of it is the way our company's evolved. Throughout our 41-year history, we've sold at one time or another almost every brand of equipment out there. And every time, for whatever reason, we would leave one brand and go to another, our sales never declined. We kept growing. So we knew intrinsically that people were buying what we were recommending, not buying whoever was spending the most on marketing dollars. So the obvious evolution of that when, you know, presented with it by a couple contractors was, yeah, let's go private label. And we just made the decision and jumped in with both feet. I think that was the biggest thing. I see too many people out there that are afraid. They don't want to lose the blue oval or the red bow tie or the orange basketball, or that they're just so tied to the identity of the brand they carry. They don't realize that they're the driving force. They, you know, whether it's an inferiority complex, I really don't know what it is, but they are just afraid to go out on their own without that big corporate logo backing them up. And like I say, we've had all the logos, so that didn't stop us. And we literally just stopped buying the other stuff. I gave my sales guys the new price book, and I go, this is what we're selling. If you want to eat, you have to sell this. And they kind of went, oh, okay, well, since you put it like that. I've seen a lot of companies fail because they might be a train and private label. Well, their sales guys always default to whatever they know, which is the brand name. So literally, sometimes you've got to rip the Band-Aid off and just take that away from them. And then, you know, over the course of 6 months to a year, they get used to it, and it's no longer a factor.
So listening to that story and thinking about how you apply that to implementing something that's new in the company, and by the way, I think so far the best quote is, I've had all the logos.
Well, unfortunately, it's true. We've got to experience everything. And after a while, you realize that all the equipment is the same stuff. It's the same Copeland compressors. It's the same White Rogers circuit boards. All the components are the same. The only thing the manufacturers do is maybe make some sheet metal boxes to put it in.
When I listen to that story and I apply it to implementing other things, it seems like you kind of go into this with an expectation that they're going to get on board. And I'm not listening to a lot of dithering and reasons why it won't work or that kind of stuff. We're going to try it. We're going to go forward with this. And I'm going to work under the assumption that it's going to work out really well. Is that the way you do it, or is there some other kind of psychology that you apply to getting everybody else on board?
No, that's pretty much it. I make a decision, and as a leader and the representative of the family that owns the company, I make the decision, and then I make sure it gets done. Any decision, even a mediocre decision, implemented immediately is better than a great decision that you don't never get around to. So that's a bastard decision of George Patton's quote, but that's the way I feel. And once I make the decision, then it's my job as a leader to get everybody moving in the same direction. And I take that pretty seriously.
Yeah. And is there very often pushback?
Yeah, usually, almost every time, there's some form of pushback on something, and you just have to be prepared for it. Come up with a realistic and logical explanation of what your vision is and how you plan on overcoming it. And most times people will follow you. The ones that don't follow you probably shouldn't be there to begin with. And I know that's maybe a little harsh to say, but as a leader, I feel I have to have the vision and I have to be able to communicate that vision. And if I am unsuccessful communicating the vision, either through my failure to communicate it clearly or their failure to understand it clearly, then maybe that it's not a good fit.
Why do you think other companies don't innovate as much as you do?
They're afraid. Nobody likes change. Kathy Todd is a perfect example. Forever, they didn't want to change their trucks. They weren't going to logo their trucks. Finally, on an AB call, I actually had to say, wrap your truck. If you don't like it, I'll pay for it. And I knew I wouldn't have to pay for it. And as soon as they wrapped their first truck, they had the whole fleet wrapped. It was something like that. It's just making the decision. A lot of people get into analysis paralysis, are afraid to make a decision, and you just have to overcome that. Whereas I've failed enough. Failure is okay. That's how you learn. So I don't fear failure. That's why I go into a lot of this stuff head first.
You think of failure as just a learning experience?
Oh, yeah. If you don't fail, you're not learning. I fail all the time. Like what Thomas Edison, he didn't fail 10,000 times making a light bulb. He found 10,000 ways that won't work as a light bulb. And that's kind of the philosophy I take. If I could impart anything to any of the business leaders out there is don't be afraid. Once you do your analysis, make a decision and act on it. A decision is impermanent. If you find out it doesn't work, you pivot and you move a different direction, but at least get the ball rolling. And I think
get
that's the hardest
rolling.
Thing.
See it through. Isn't there also a kind of a see it through component? I mean, I know guys that have started 1,000 projects. None of them are done.
True.
You know,
oh, yeah. Very
surely,
true.
Surely one or two of those would have been fruitful, but you got to start it, see it through, and then decide whether it worked or not, right?
Yeah, and that's probably one of the first things I learned after maybe my first comfort tech was one or two ideas. That's it. See them through and then do the others. You can write them all down and save them, but you can only do one or two things at a time and do them effectively. So pick the most important, get it done, and then go on to something else because you get distracted if you get ADD and just, oh, a shiny object, you'll never get anything done. So yeah, it's better to pick one or two things, focus, see it through to either a successful or an unsuccessful ending, then move on to the next thing. It's okay to fail. You just learned something. You learned a way it won't work. So don't do it again. Move on.
All right. I think this is good. I appreciate you being willing to do this. I think you're sort of overly modest about this stuff, to be honest. When I mentioned the fact that you had all these innovations, you seem sort of surprised about it. But the fact is, you bring stuff on a lot and you do it really well. So,
well, thank you.
You should feel proud of that because, you know, I see a lot of companies and you guys are real standout. So,
well, I'm really proud of our people because they're the ones that get it done. I'm the one with all the harebrained ideas. They're the ones that stand behind me and make it happen.
Thanks a bunch. I appreciate it.
All right, David. You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.